book of Titus, the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. While you're turning there, let me mention to you that Saturday night we have prayer at 8 o'clock in the old sanctuary. Don't forget that. And then the other things that's going on this week, remember those and be as faithful as God would have you to be to those things. And then on Sunday night we're going to be baptizing, Lord willing, and we look forward to that. And just look forward to God's blessing, but encourage you to bring somebody with you, invite somebody to come to the house of God on Sunday. Chapter 2, the book of Titus. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Familiar scripture that you use many times in, throughout the years, and you've heard many times, but in chapter 2 of Titus, beginning at verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Aren't you glad that's in the Word of God? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We're coming back to that verse, but verse 12, "Teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all the iniquity, purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." He's writing to young preacher Titus and giving him some instructions there. But I want to pick up tonight on the thought, seven things that grace does. Seven things that grace does. Now tonight, we'll not try to get all seven of those. We'll probably get the first one. But something that God's laid on my heart to begin sharing with you, seven things that grace does. Thank God for amazing grace. Thank God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. How good it is to assemble together, hear the sing the songs. And Father, thank you, Lord, for sweet spirit prevails. Then, Lord, thank you for those who have come this way tonight. I pray you bless them and encourage their hearts. And I pray they be blessed by being in the house of God. I pray for those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, bring conviction, draw them by your power. I pray, Father, you make it real to them. And Brother Brady is just sharing about that man out in Tennessee. Lord, we never know who's in our midst and who's come in and what they may need. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us tonight to share the Word of God like you'd have it to be shared. And we'll thank you and praise you. Everything that you do, we'll give you the glory and the praise. I need your help. I need that divine touch in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Seven things that grace does. And that word grace has been tried to be defined many ways. And some take it by the letters of the word, G-R-A-C-E. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's I couldn't argue with that definition of it. Has been defined as unmerited favor. I cannot disagree with that definition of it. Amazing grace. I couldn't deny that either. It's just grace is good. And grace is when you get what you don't deserve. And I noticed tonight in the praying, somebody mentioned the fact that Brother Paul was praying for the offering and saying how unworthy he was. And I'd have to join him and say, unworthy I am, and so are you. But we're all unworthy when it comes to a holy God, that none of us have our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. The God that created the universe and put it all in place, created the earth, created man, breathed in the nostrils breath of life. Man became a living soul. And I talked about that Sunday. That soul shall be somewhere in eternity forever and forever. And I'm glad that God made himself known unto us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Holy Spirit came one day. Somebody told us about Jesus. And that man, Brother Brady, talked about God brought him there. But his mother sometime or other had sown that seed. And God brought it to fruition. And the man came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I say amen and amen. Aren't you glad Jesus still saves sinners? Still saves those who will come. And so he did. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 10 says, but the God of all grace, he's the God of all grace. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we know the law came, but thank God grace came, amen. And grace and truth came. Then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, the very last of that verse, and talking about some of the spies, despite the grace of spirit. And I believe it says spirit of grace, not God's spirit, but spirit of grace. And that spirit there is in capital letter, not small. He's not talking about a spirit of something like a school spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit and called him the spirit of grace. And so we find God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's mentioned in grace with all of them. I say it's important, the grace of God. I thank God for that precious grace of God. Now back to our text. In chapter number 2 of the book of Titus, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And I talk about 7 things that grace does. Number 1, grace saves. I'm glad for that grace of God. Amen. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be saved. If it was not for that grace that came one day to you, you wouldn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to turn back with me. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, I want to show you 2 or 3 verses here in Ephesians. And I want you to see that about the grace of God. In verse number 1, in verse number 6, and in the book of Ephesians here, he's talking about being accepted. And he said this, to the praise of the glory of his grace. There's that word grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I was not accepted. You ever been somewhere and you felt like you wasn't accepted? You ever been in a situation where you felt like you didn't fit and you were not accepted into? And there's a precious young lady here tonight from out here at the drugstore that I go by a lot of times out there and getting medicine from my wife or me one. And but I was talking to her today, and I said to people, was the church friendly? And she agreed it was, and I said she was accepted. And we're glad she's here. Amen. You that don't know her, you've never met her, I want you to shake her hand tonight. Let her know how welcome she is. We have other folk that are here tonight that have come back, have been here with us. You know why? Because they felt like they were accepted. They felt like they fitted in. Or at least they were not unwelcome into the church, but welcome. It's always important that we make everybody feel welcome in the church. But I'm glad, thank God, one day Jesus did something for me. He made me, the grace of God made me accepted in the beloved. Amen. I mean, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I never would have got in Christ. If I wasn't in Christ, I never got to know God. And if I didn't get to know God, I'm going to be lost and without God. So I'm glad for that grace of God that worked in my heart and let me be accepted in the beloved that I might be saved. Look in verse number 7 of chapter 1, Ephesians. It says, in whom we have redemption. That word redemption means to buy back. And scripturally, it means to buy back out of the slave market and cannot be returned. And I said, hallelujah. I'm glad for redemption, biblical redemption.
to the praise of the glory of his great, well, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace got me accepted in the beloved, and grace got me forgiveness of my sins. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that you're forgiven? It doesn't make any difference who you are. I'm glad that if you ever got saved, came to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, and he put your sin behind his back. He put them as far as the east is from the west. You can go north and you'll hit a point where you start going south. But you can't go east and never go west. As long as you're going east, you'll always be going east. East and west never meets. I say that's how far he took my sin away. But I love that sign language for forgetfulness. And he forgets our sin. And sign language for that is he wipes it out. And praise God, he wiped it all out and took it away. He does not remember it anymore. You know why? Grace brought me forgiveness of my sin. And grace of God brought me that salvation. I praise his name and thank him for it. Look over in chapter 2 of book of Ephesians, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, and that's where we were when we were sinners, we're dead in sins. And that word dead in sins don't mean physically dead, but spiritually dead. And you're here tonight and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're spiritually dead and cannot understand what's going on, really the fullness of it, because spiritually dead, but you must know Jesus to be made spiritually alive. And he said here, hath quickened us, that means made alive, us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. Look in verse number 8, you know it well. For by grace are you saved through that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's not by works? I couldn't work hard enough to be saved. I couldn't be good enough to be saved. I couldn't pay my way to be saved. The only way I could be saved is by the grace of God. And what is grace? Unmerited favor. What is grace? You get that you don't deserve. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be lost forever. But thank God for grace of God that brought salvation to me. Now look at verse number 7. I was plugging this in as I run by. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, he's going to make us trophies of his grace in glory. I believe the angels will look and say, look at the grace of God. Look what grace did. Look what grace brought. Amen. It's going to be we that are saved will be trophies of the grace of God one day in glory. I say hallelujah for grace. Amen. Now come back to Titus again. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11 again. For by grace of for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And there's that word all in our text. And the word world in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't come just for the Jews. He didn't come just for the whites or just for the blacks or the Japanese. Or we have somebody here from Japan. And didn't come just for them. He came for Native Americans. He came for everybody, everywhere in the world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. I am glad Jesus saves. Salvation, he says, the grace of God hath appeared to all men. That means everybody, not just a few folk, just those that's good enough or those that think they're, it's not that. There's nobody good enough. We're all in the same boat. We need the grace of God, but thank God for grace. Thank God, grace of God brought me in and got me and got me saved. John 1:29, John the Baptist walked out one day and saw Jesus coming. I don't know that he pointed his finger. The Bible doesn't say that, but I believe he did. And said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. There's three new things said about the lamb in that verse. Number one, he's of the Lord. Every other lamb is just a lamb come as lambs come, but it wasn't any lamb of God. It wasn't any lamb that could bear all of our sin and take it away. And so, but this lamb was of God. And then it said, the lamb of God which taketh away. Every lamb in the Old Testament did not take away sin. It simply covered it over for a little while. Then they'd have to do it again. And then they'd have to do it again. You remember the Ark of the Covenant and the Holies of Holies and the Tabernacle? And the high priest would go in once a year, and there he'd offer blood. But he had to do it every year, year after year after year. But here in this verse, John 1:29, he said, no, the Lamb of God that takes, which takes away the sin of the world. But he said, take away the sin of the world. Not just somebody, not just a few folk, but everybody. I am glad, thank God, this Lamb died for everybody. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. E-V-E-R-Y, every man. That means everybody, amen. And I want to say to you tonight, thank God that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came for everybody. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, how young you are, how old you may be, or in between, God wants to save you. Jesus came to say, let's go back to this Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There's a progression in the Word of God about the Lamb. You remember, I believe that God told Adam and Eve about the Lamb. The Bible said he slew an animal and made coats of skin for them. And so they had to be an animal slain to make those coats of skin for them when they had sinned. And then I believe they told their children about the Lamb. And then you remember when Abel and Cain brought their sacrifices? Abel was one man. His lamb was not good for Cain. The blood shed only did Abel good, that's all. Didn't help anybody else. All it helped was one man, Abel. He brought a lamb by faith. He did what God said, offered blood sacrifice, and was accepted. Thank God for it. And then you remember the night of the Passover down in Egypt? And he said, every family kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Now I know that God said, I'm going to pass through the land and the eldest is going to die where I do not see the blood. And so we know he's coming after the eldest, but did you know everybody under that blood was safe? Everybody. When they got in that house, there wasn't anybody in that house going to die that night because they's under the blood. I'm glad, praise God, for the family. The blood was shed for the family. Aren't you glad for family salvation? And glad that God saves? We keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting God, keep asking God to help, and God will work on hearts and lives. But here's a progression of that lamb. Abel's lamb did him good, that's all. Here's a lamb for a family. This family over here, let's call it the Ramsey family. He got under the blood. He over here is a Hill family, and it didn't help the Hill family a bit. They's in their own house, and their Hill family had to have their blood, the lamb slain, the blood put on. That's all it helped. This Ramsey family didn't help him at all. And so the family. But then there's another progression of that blood. In the wilderness, as it went in the tabernacle and temple, after it got in Jerusalem, they had the Holies of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant there. The high priest once a year would take the blood. And you remember he went through the holy place where the table of showbread was, the candlestick where the light was, speaks of the Holy Spirit, and bread spoke of Jesus and his altar of incense. And the altar would go over into the holies. But back in the holies of holies, was nobody could go back after the high priest once a year. And when he went back there, he took blood and he sprinkled it in front of the mercy seat and on the mercy seat. And then he stepped over in it and he pled for himself and for the people, for all the people of Israel. He pled. And if God accepted that, he came back out and the people would give a shout because they knew that he'd been accepted. I'm glad one day Jesus went to Calvary and shed his blood, gave his life. But thank God on the third day he stepped out and we shouted because he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He paid the price in full and sets us free. Amen. But that's not the end of the story about the lamb. You see, that lamb that priest had and that lamb that was slain, that blood taken in, it was good just for a nation. But hallelujah. There was one more lamb to come, and his name is Jesus. And that lamb came one day, thank God. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Not just a person, not just a family, not just a nation, but for everybody, everybody, whoever, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I want to say tonight, glory to God, I'm one of those whosoevers. Amen. I'm not a Jew, and I'm not, I wouldn't fit in that crowd. I wasn't down in Egypt. I wasn't with Abel. I'm not fitting into that, but thank God I am a whosoever. That got me in. Amen. And Jesus came to save whosoever will, let him come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. And he does. I thank God for that. Tonight, there's some of you present that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me invite you to him. Let me encourage you to come to him. You say, but preacher, this is prayer meeting night. It doesn't make any difference what night it is. You can come to Jesus and be saved and be born in the family of God. Hey, I'm glad God saves those who will come. You say, but preacher, I don't know that I need to come. Listen, Jesus is the only way there is to heaven. You said, preacher, I thought every religion gets you to heaven. No, no. No, no. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Every other religion is man-made, and whoever started them died, but they never got up. They stayed dead. But I'm glad, thank God, my Lord got up. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Somebody said one time to a great theologian, said, Christianity, what is it? Said, anybody can start a religion like that. He said, yes, sir. All you have to do is get yourself crucified, die, be buried, and get up a third day. Amen. And man hung his head and walked off because he couldn't do that. Amen. And so I say to you tonight, Christianity is the only way there is to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I'm talking about grace and what grace does. Grace gets us in. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not good enough. You're right, you're not. Preacher, I can't do anything to earn salvation. You're right. I tried that, didn't work. But the grace of God worked in my heart one day. God said, I loved you while you're yet sinners. I love you. I care for you. I want to save you. And that got me in, the grace of God. No merit of mine. Nothing in my hand I brought. I thought about that in the book of Daniel. When the angel, the Lord touched Daniel, said he put him on the palm of his hands and on his knees. If you're on the palm of your hands, you can't hold on to anything else. Because when you're on the palms, it's like that. Not holding on to anything. That's how you get saved. Holding on to not anything. You turn loose of everything and say, I trust Jesus. And the grace of God brings salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the wonderful, marvelous, amazing grace of God. Thank you that you save sinners. Thank you that every person in this house, that you love them, you care for them. And Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you one day the grace of God worked in my heart. And Father, you brought me in because of grace, and I thank you for it. But tonight, there are those here that know not the grace of God and a free pardon of sin. They've never let that grace work in their hearts. They've never come to Jesus and let the blood of Jesus cleanse them and save them. The living Savior become real to them, a reality. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you speak to every unsaved in the house. Then help those who are saved. Maybe the joy's gone, not where they once were with you. I pray they'll come. Then those tonight that may just need a special touch of God to help them in their lives, I pray they'll come. Thank you for tonight for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.